Welcome to Blend and Elevate, where we share stories that inspire and transform. I'm your host, Reshmi. Today, I'm joined by Ashley, who I had the pleasure of meeting on the first day of our MBA journey at the University of Canterbury. Ashley brings a unique perspective and an inspiring story that I can't wait to share with you all. Welcome to Blend and Elevate, Ashley.
Thank you for having me. I love that little jingle at the beginning. I danced a little bit in my chair. Well, thank you for having me. Mm-hmm. And
would you like to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I would love to. So I moved to Christchurch, New Zealand from America, the Boston area, New England, specifically New Hampshire, for if your listeners are familiar. And 2.5 years ago, because I'm married to a New Zealander, and he wanted to come home to Christchurch to be near family, and so here I am.
But you've been here before as well.
Oh, so I traveled to New Zealand 18 years ago and did a semester abroad. I was going to Northeastern University in Boston, and you can do a semester abroad when you're doing university. And so I wanted to go to France because I'd been taking French for many, many years. And then I thought, France is only a six-hour flight from Boston or so. So I really got to go somewhere far to make it worth my bang for my buck.
Wow.
And so then I was going to go to Australia.
Oh, wow.
And then my cousin was dating this Kiwi guy, and he was like, you should go to New Zealand because that's where I'm from. And of course, back then I was thinking, isn't New Zealand part of Australia? You know how people think that sometimes.
Yes.
But anyway, so I didn't really do any research, and I was working at a law firm at the time. I'd just gotten off a 3-month federal trial that I was just working nonstop for. And I kind of forgot I signed up to come to New Zealand. And it all just came really quickly. And I actually missed my first flight to come, maybe on purpose. I was with my friend Carolyn. She was dropping me off and we got there and they're like, you missed your flight. So we sat there and waited till the next one to California, to LA. And when I got to LA, all these other students that were traveling to New Zealand were like, oh, we're wondering where you were. And I was like, well, I didn't really want to come. But then once I landed here, you know, I acclimated. And it was July, though, so it was rainy and cold. You know, New Zealand's winter. Nothing like New England winter, but still. And then it wasn't even a week of being here, and I met Andrew, my now husband.
Yay!
And so I wasn't trying to secure an anchor to come back here, but accidentally did. And so he followed me actually back to America after my study abroad was up. I went back and I had to finish university there. And he followed me back there. And that's where we lived ever since.
True love.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. I don't know if he would follow me back now. He had never really left New Zealand, so he thought I was this loud, vibrant American girl that had it all going on. So I tricked him.
And do you think his personality is a little bit different from yours? Maybe opposite of yours?
Yeah, because I'm really loud and outgoing. And I love to travel and adventure and see new things and always... I'm always climbing a mountain, and when I get to the top of that peak, I'll find another peak. And he is really just a homebody and content and is fine if he never leaves the house again.
Well, I guess you guys balance each other.
I would say so. Yeah. So I'm the adventure with our two girls. I've been traveling with them since they were born. Actually, I traveled when my second daughter I had at home, and then I was going to be in a wedding like 10 days later. And I was in the wedding. My other daughter was in the wedding. And I was like, absolutely, I'll make it. And so I just strapped her on and flew to Texas for this wedding like 10 days or 2 weeks after she was born. And just wore her the whole time. She was fine. So, yeah, I've been traveling with my kids since they were literally born. And I just love it. I love seeing the world through their eyes. I love experiencing new things with them. And so I think because I am a go, 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 go parent.
Yeah.
Andrew definitely balances it out and can just have a fun day at home with them, walking in the woods, and we used to have a brook near our house, or just doing all of these really important things at home that are grounding for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be a home parent, but someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
And then actually when COVID hit and they had to do school at home, yes. I was still working and I worked throughout that whole thing because it was okay. Essential. And I was very, very grateful for that because I did one day of homeschool stuff and I was like, nah. I was good at going out and going for walks. And we went down to the lake and I did a scavenger hunt outside stuff. But I didn't want to sit down and do actual paper computer. The computer schoolwork with them was a nightmare. So he handled all of that for however long they were home, months. I don't remember.
Oh,
I think
so
we
nice.
Gave up on one kid. She just wasn't going to do that home learning stuff in the traditional sense that they wanted her to. She was learning, just not on their timeline.
Did you find like being in America, like going through COVID, like how was the experience then?
Well, in my state, like, we're kind of rural. So we lived on a lake. We lived on land. You could still go hiking.
Mm-hmm.
And do everything, really.
Yeah.
And I still went to work. So my life wasn't that interrupted.
Okay.
And then, I mean, this might be bad to say, but like we still had friends that all hung out and like we got our kids together.
Mm-hmm.
So my kids were never isolated to that level, but it wasn't abnormal.
Yeah. But you were isolated in like that area.
Yeah, in that area. Yeah. Yeah. So we couldn't travel out of state.
Yeah.
For a while, but eventually you could. Yeah.
Oh.
And and actually a friend of mine, a really good friend, she got diagnosed with cancer right around the same time and she had two little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was going through treatment and was making her really sick. So I was taking her kid to do things and just keep her busy throughout that time. So I was kind of her doctors knew that she needed help with the kids. So I was considered like part of her bubble. Even medically approved, I was part of it.
So I also know that you mentor a child.
Yes, I saw her yesterday.
Okay.
And so I was involved in a lot of volunteer work back home in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved here, I just really missed that sense of community.
Yeah.
Volunteering and donating my time was just a big part of my life, and I didn't realize how important it was until I didn't have it here.
Yeah.
And a lot of my volunteer work was through my business that I had,
mm-hmm.
but then just other avenues as well. And my mom was really involved in a mentoring program that I had, helped her out with. So when I was here, I found this program called Pillars, and basically it is for children who have a parent in prison.
Okay.
And so most of them just have one parent in prison. So they might have another parent they live with or another guardian, like an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent.
Yep.
But, you know, they're just missing that parent. And so, the child's not in prison and the child shouldn't have to pay for parents' mistakes or anything like that. So after lots of training and informational meetings with that organization, I got matched with a 10-year-old girl. And so we hang out every couple weeks. And I think she likes me.
I'm sure she does. You're an amazing mom. Like you're.
Yeah. Well, I try to have my time with her alone, but sometimes she comes to my house too.
Yeah.
And we'll hang out with my kids. So you can, that's kind of nice. We can have our alone time, but then I can blend her with my family as well.
Yes.
And she blends. And she thinks my husband's hilarious. Like when he says stuff, she laughs and no one else does. and yeah, I think he should be a mentor, but he would have to go through the whole training and he would get a boy because they try to pair women with girls and boys with. Yeah. And there's a real shortage. So if any of your listeners are from Christchurch, they really need male mentors. There's a long wait list of young men who need mentors. So I try to plug it as much as I can. And yesterday I took my girl we went to the art gallery, the Christchurch Art Gallery, which is free.
Nice.
You and I, before we got started, were talking about GST and tax and how this government needs a lot of money, but there's so much that's free and they run so many things here. You know, they own the library and the pools and the museums and the galleries and the hospitals and the universities. The sports arenas, you know, they just own everything. And so it's nice, though, that you can go to museums and art galleries. And, so many things are free.
Yeah.
So we did that. And then we walked through the botanical gardens. Mm-hmm. And I brought my picnic backpack. And we had a picnic in the gardens.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Usually we go and do things that cost money. And I told her we had to have, a meetup that was free because I've set a tone. Mm-hmm. I've set it too high.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to be really cool to begin with.
Yeah.
And now she's like, we should go out to eat at this place. I'm like, okay, we have to tone it down a little now. Because it's really not supposed to be about me buying her stuff. Yes. Or it's not supposed to be about money at all. It's supposed to be about
the interaction, talking
and quality time and showing them. Well, I'm supposed to be an influence, a good influence on her. Yeah. So being a responsible, good citizen. I try. My kids are like, I don't know if you're the person for this. I'm like, oh, she gets the best part of me. She gets the best part. Then I come home and yell at my kids, but I do not. She thinks I'm the nicest girl. Oh, I think
you are. So when we talk about a lot of things being free here because the government provides it, how is it different from America?
Well, we have big business and we just have the capital for people to invest in these other types of businesses. Like the convention center here is government owned and no private investor would invest in it because they're never going to get a return. It's never going to give them a profit. Same with the sports stadiums because we don't have these big sporting events that generate so much money.
Yeah.
What else? And I guess the libraries too. They're just things that without the government, any private investor or business wouldn't want to take on because the city, we're not big enough. And I also told you earlier, Christchurch doesn't feel like a city. It is a city, but it doesn't feel like a city to some of us that are from or used to bigger cities.
Yeah.
But even though it feels like a big town, I can never find parking. I had to drive around an hour today at university. I had to drive around the mall. To drive around this. I've had a heck of a time this week finding parking everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. And then I said, maybe I should start riding a bike, but I travel with 55 bags. I travel daily, I'm going out for the week. So I'd have to come up with a system. I'd have to have a trailer on my bicycle. I'm just always prepared. I went to a hen's night this weekend and they played this game of what you have in your purse.
Yeah.
And everyone brings out a wallet. Not even. Some people have a phone wallet.
Yes.
And I bring out my big handbag. I mean, it's more like a suitcase.
Right.
And everyone's like, Ashley's going to win. And I totally did by a lot because I had everything. They went through a list and assigned points to things. Mm-hmm. And I just had most of the things.
I have a phone wallet as well. Yeah. All I need is just my driving license and my card.
Your water bottle. Oh, you've got a water bottle.
Yeah. That's the other bag. But if I'm getting out of the house, I just grab my phone and the keys and then I'm out.
Oh.
Unless I'm coming to university.
Yeah.
Going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I will take another bag. But otherwise,
Yeah, I don't know. I did Girl Scouts until I was in the 8th grade, so maybe I just have always be prepared. That's their motto. Oh. So maybe that's really ingrained in me.
Mm.
I don't know.
Okay, so earlier on we were talking about some of the challenges you faced moving to Christchurch.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well,
what do you think was your main sort of...
The major challenge was finding community, which I've joined stuff and joining the MBA here has helped. And then the volunteer work. And then I've met some friends. Yeah. So, and gyms, I've joined gyms and I, do this women's boot camp. Mm. That was the first gym thing that I joined was this community boot camp. And I still go to that. So that was starting from over. And you would think that my husband would bring something to the table. He didn't. He brought two friends of his. And they're lovely. But He's just not social, really, by choice. He would be social. Like, everyone thinks he's social. Like, people meet him and they like him more than me. Oh. And they're like, I don't know why he doesn't go out more. But he's just so content with the kids and me and his dog and his land. So anyway, so the biggest challenge is work. Work, which is one reason I joined the MBA, so I could, strategically make connections, further my skill set, and hopefully would somehow land me something. Mm-hmm. So, I applied like 2 or 3 weeks ago when I got back from my trip to America. I applied to like 50 jobs in 1 week, and I haven't heard from one. Okay, sorry. I heard from one.
Okay.
And then I had an interview, and then I never heard from them again. And that to me is insanity, because I think I'm very employable and I have a very diverse skill set. Mm-hmm. And so that's just been a challenge. And now we're in a recession, so goodness knows what's going to happen now. And I'm staying really positive. I'm writing in my journal every day that I'm going to get a job, manifesting it.
And so that's the other thing that you do. You do like positive affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But do you find it rewarding?
Most days, but then I have a slump when I've been doing all of these affirmations and doing all the work. And then when nothing happens, I'm like, wow, I hate this. I hate this place. and then I have a day of tantrums.
Yeah.
And then I hop back on, put my smile on, and come back to the table and just try again. And so I don't sit in that. Like, even with all the challenges, I don't sit in that space for very long. Never. Okay. Because I have too much to be grateful for and too much to have gratitude and everything like that. So I know that I can't stay in that negative space for long. But every person has downs. And so I just vocalize mine. I think other people probably internalize a lot of their down times.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just being real.
It's good. It's good to let it out.
And sometimes other people can relate, but also I have offended some Kiwis when I do complain about stuff. This is their home and it's their home. And so for an American to come in and I'm not meaning to put it down. I'm just like pointing out my struggles, but I do feel really bad about that when New Zealanders think that I'm talking crap
too much.
No, I was going to swear, but I don't know what the rating of this podcast is.
Please do not swear.
Okay, I'm trying really hard. So it's like being around kids. Okay, so actually it's really funny because whenever I want to say the SH word, I say shiitake, which is like a mushroom.
Yeah.
No, like so like the other day I was with my kids and I'm like, oh, shiitake. And at this point they know and they're like, oh my gosh, just say the word. Like we're old enough to understand.
Well,
and yeah, I guess so. It's enough. Like, or I'd be like, oh, fudgicle. And yeah, now the older one's 13. So she's like, wow, you're cool. Not really. But so the challenge of finding work, that's just I could really love it here if I could just find a good job.
Mm.
And because I've always worked, like since I was 13 years old, I've always worked. Yeah. Even when I had my kids, I went back to work really quickly. And I've enjoyed it. It's just really important to me. Yeah. I like to feel fulfilled. I like to have my own money, making my own money.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just important to me. So that has been the challenge. And I'll just keep waiting for my magic to happen.
Okay. Well, I think we are.
Oh, we're done?
Well, almost.
Oh, I didn't get to the inspiring part yet.
Okay. Let's get to the inspiring part.
Well, when you told me I had to, that you were going to ask me, but now I've asked myself, when you told me you're going to ask me about something inspirational, I reached out to a group of friends, like a group chat, and said, what have I done? And to a lot of Americans, they think moving my family across the world, like selling my house, I had a business, you know, I was so into my community just in every possible way. I had my family. My parents are super involved with my family. My grandparents all lived in the same area. great neighbors, everything. Everyone couldn't believe that I was just moving across the world. And so a lot of people find that really inspirational. But living here in New Zealand, everyone has moved from across the world at some point. Like, New Zealand is just such a migrant place. So I'm not special here. My kids aren't special at school. Like, they get new kids from different countries every week.
Okay.
So that does not make us special here. That only makes us special to people from my home state. Like, they think that's cool. Because people don't leave there.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, people don't leave that area to move across the country. They don't even leave my state to move to another state.
Okay.
They're very happy there. That's like a vacation land. So I can't use that since this is a New Zealand podcast.
But it's still a huge thing moving from, like, your home to another country. It is.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, you moved from another country.
Exactly.
Too.
I'm struggling too. But anyways.
And so then someone said, the consensus, what everyone said was the job, the career change that I did. So I was in law, American law, for a long time and working at law firms. And I was at this one for 7 years. But my passions had shifted. I was really, you know, I had my kids. I was just in that part of my life. I was just heading towards a lot more natural living, you know, the home birth thing, natural medicine, herbalism, all of that, you know, all of that kind of umbrella. Yeah. And so this opportunity came up of this longstanding 40-year I'd been around for almost 40 years, health food store, which just is all of that stuff that was important to me. And I shopped at health food stores and loved spending time there and had friends in that whole community. And so another friend of mine let me know that it was, she knew I was just really over the job I had. And so that was the shift. And then I went in, you know, working for myself and helping people and running this shop that was supplements, but it was also counseling people every day with their health problems, physical, emotional. I mean, people coming in to, I would be the first person that knew they were pregnant or they'd lost a child, like just a lot of other really scary health conditions. And I was just helping people every day. And that was so fulfilling. And then also just really involved in the whole wider community of that shop. And I lived in a different town, but also the other town. And so I just loved it. It didn't feel like work because it wasn't really.
But you're still doing it. Like, we.
But I don't see people, like, I'm doing it for me and for my friends. And I, like, when people reach out to me every day, ask me for help or advice and counseling and stuff, but it's not the same. I don't want to just DM somebody or respond on a text. It's so much better being in person. And also, I hosted a lot of workshops, like a lot of mushroom workshops or like having other herbalists or homeopathics, practitioners or naturopaths or chiropractors, just kind of that whole area of natural health. I would get experts to come in and I'd host these workshops. And actually I started something called the Holistic Moms Network, a franchise of that that I did for a little while as well. Just bringing moms together on the journey. And so, yeah, I guess like another thing that someone said too that's inspiring is that I can heal my family when something happens, whether it was COVID, like I never had fear of that, not once, because I knew that I could fix us. And I did when it happened. I had it early on. And then just other, I don't really fear illness or disease because I believe I can heal it. Yeah. And I have a good track record of it. And so and like my kids don't have fear either. Like even I got a cold when we were in Paris and my other kid was like, I'm not getting sick. I'm not getting sick. Mind over matter. Like my mind's strong. I'm not getting it. And so I take, that's just what I do. But when other people point it out to me and they're like, I wish I could do that for my family, or I have this knowledge that you have, I was like, oh yeah, that's my other little superpower, I guess. And so I can feel good about that. And actually someone in our MBA program last week is a real numbers person. And he was being very helpful to me. But he took a look at an essay I was writing and he said, this is undergrad material. This is not MBA material. This is not just do better. And so I appreciated that honest feedback, mm-hmm. but also I was like, well, I bet you can't heal your child. And or like something like, I was like, we all have our skill sets. And so it was, we have a good laughing relationship. It was fine. But I don't know. It was like in that moment, I'm not a good academic writer. That's what I'm here for. And that's a skill set I do not have. I need to improve it. And so I think I'm really good at identifying the areas that I need to grow on and the areas that I need to be better at. And so, and I'm the first one to admit it. And I think we all kind of have to, well, you getting out of your comfort zone and doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Are we out of time?
Yes.
Okay.
So anyways, thank you for coming on my podcast, Ashley. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Blend and Elevate. We hope today's conversation with our guest, Ashley, has been inspiring to you all. Please take a moment to like and subscribe. Join me next time. Until then, keep blending, keep elevating. Take care.